morning. Yesterday, Gemara discussed the term Sarisim in two Psukim. One, the Navi Ishaya told King Chizkiyahu that because he showed the Babylonian emissaries around the Beis Hamikdash, so all of his fortune would be exiled to Babel, and his descendants would be Sarisim Beheichal HaMelech. And we discussed three meanings of the word Sarisim. One, the Marsha said it usually means officers. Here, it can't mean officers because it would not have been a punishment for Chizkiyahu for his descendants to be officers in the palace of King of Babel. That would be an honor to be an officer.
Haven't we said or learned somewhere that actually being an officer is a punishment? You're not supposed to get involved with the government. It takes time from learning.
I was waiting for you to ask that yesterday, and you didn't, which is good because that's today's shiur. Yesterday's shiur was a different subject, so I'm glad you asked it today and not yesterday. The Marsha says, so it can't mean that because that would be a good thing. So therefore, the Gemara is discussing whether it means Sarisim, that they were eunuchs, or whether it means that Avodah Zarah was sterilized, it lost its potency in their day. Now, one of the psukim that was brought in the discussion was pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Nun Vav, that I mentioned, we read enough Torah for fast day. Ko'amar Hashem la'sarisim asher yishmeru et shabtotai. So said Hashem to the sarisim who keep my Shabbos. The Gemara said, brought that as a proof that sarisim has to be used in a complimentary way, because why would Hashem speak to tzadikim in a way that puts them down by calling them, if sarisim means they were disfigured, why would Hashem refer to that fact? Why do we think at all that pasuk is referring to Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Zarya? Radal, Rav David Luria, on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Nun Beis, mentioned something that we discussed once before, which is when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the furnace, they were wearing Shabbos clothes because it was Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And we talked about the fact that they went in a dignified way in their Shabbos clothes. So he says that's what the pasuk is referring to here. Ko'amar Hashem la'sarisim asher yishmeru et shabtotai, to the sarisim who guard my Shabboses, plural, meaning Shabbos and Yom Kippur. They are people who we find in Tanakh honored Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And so that's why we assume this pasuk is referring to them and therefore have to explain it. Main question, though, as just mentioned, is why would we think it's a good thing for Chizkiyahu's descendants to be officers in the palace of a foreign king? And why, in fact, were they taken that way? Why was that the midah keneged midah of how they were taken into Galus? So the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer describes in greater detail what happened that day when Chizkiyahu gave this tour to the emissaries from Babel. And it says, "Vinitga'e libo lamala," he became haughty. "V'her'ah lahem et otzarot shamachei Yehuda v'et kol otzarot beit kodeshei HaKadoshim." He showed them the treasures of the kings of Yehuda and all the treasures of the house of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Va'od shepatach et ha'aron v'her'ah lahem et ha'luchot. He even opened the aron and showed them the luchos. Ve'amar bazeh anu osim milchama v'notzchim. He said, this is what we take into war and makes us victorious. So the Medrash continues that Hashem got angry, and he said, "Lo dayecha she'ereita lahem et kol otzarot beit kodesh HaKadoshim." It's not enough that you showed them all the treasures of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'kol otzarot malchei Yehuda, all the treasures of Yehuda. Ela shevatachta lahem et masei yadai, you vatachta lahem et haluchot masei yadai, you opened up the luchos, which was the handiwork of my hand. I swear that they will take all the treasures of the kings of Yehuda and all the treasures of the house of the Kodesh Kodashim, and v'tachat haluchot, and in place of the luchos, yikhu mibanecha sarisim v'heichal melch bavel. In place of the luchos, your descendants will be taken as sarisim to the palace of the king of Bavel. And v'elohein Daniel Hanan Mishael v'Azariah. So the Medrash says that they were specifically taken because of the luchos being shown. One of the commentaries called Lo Od Ella, and it's written by Rav Eliyahu Ha'itamari, discusses a few points in this paragraph. First of all, what's in Mida Keneged Mida, that according to the opinion, that it means that they were, that the king of Bavel made them eunuchs. What's the Mida Keneged Mida? So he says that Chizkiyahu's actions in giving a tour of the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim caused the galus. And we find the expression, Kivan shegalu ein lecha bitul Torah mizeh. Galus causes bitul Torah. When you're busy being schlepped around to another country, causes bitul Torah. Torah and mitzvos are a person's offspring. We find Toldosem shel tzadikim elu masim tovim. Person's offspring, the Torah and mitzvot the person does are his offspring. So since Chizkiyahu caused bitul Torah by causing the galus, it's fitting that he should have fewer descendants. Mida keneged mida, that he should have fewer descendants, and therefore some of his descendants were made unable to have children. He then says, and I'm not sure what his source for this is, that after they came out of the fire, they were healed, miraculously, obviously, and were once again able to have children. That's not the way we learned the Gemara yesterday, and he doesn't really explain how that's consistent with the Gemara. And he explains that Mida keneged Mida, because Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, the Medrash says, were specifically taken because he showed the emissaries the luchos. He opened up the Aron and showed the luchos. So they are in place of the Torah. And because they are in place of the Torah, so that's why they were taken into Galus in an honorable way as officers of the king and not in a demeaning way. And that's why it could be interpreted as a positive thing that they were taken to be officers of the king. The question that we're discussing is, yesterday I quoted the Marsha, who said that the reason the Gemara doesn't give the word sarisim its literal meaning, which is officers, is because the prophecy that King Chizkiyahu's descendants would be taken into Galus was a punishment for him. And if they're taken as officers of the king, that's not a punishment. That's a good thing. And Yitzi asked, which I was surprised no one asked yesterday. We always say, don't get close to the government. It says in Pirkei Avos, not once but twice, keep away from the government. So how could that be interpreted as a positive thing, to be taken as an officer of the king? So one possibility is, as the commentary Velo Od Ella says, that it's a positive thing because it shows that they are connected to the Torah. They represent the Torah, and the Torah has to be treated in an honorable way. I would like to discuss in a little more detail, and then we'll come to another answer, the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, about government service and our attitude towards government service, and then we'll have another understanding. So first, in Perek Aleph, Shmaya says, Ehovet Malacha, love work, usnat Rabbanut, and hate Rabbanos, we discussed in previous year, what that means. Altit vadala rashut. Don't make yourself known to the government. The Rishonim on this Mishnah have basically two different approaches, and they all say more or less the same thing with slightly different nuances. But there are two basic reasons why a person should not make himself known to the government. Rambam says that all three of the pieces of advice in this Mishnah are good for your religious observance and good for your life in this world. They're both physical and spiritual benefit, material and spiritual benefits. He says, if you don't have a job, you're going to be a thief. You're going to have to support yourself somehow, so you'll be a thief. And if you chase leadership positions, then you'll have the trials of having enemies and people who are jealous of you. And furthermore, you'll end up being less observant because you'll be busy chasing your leadership position. And similarly, if a person has a government job, he'll be too busy to daven with the minyan, he'll be, you know, getting home in the nick of time when Shabbos is over, when Shabbos starts, you know, he'll be cutting into his observance of Shabbos and Yom Tov and his lots of other mitzvahs. The Barbanel, who we know, had a whole life of government service and held very high positions in the Spanish court. He cites this Rambam and he writes, "Vegam ani odehu, I will acknowledge that the Rambam is correct. Shekol yamai gadalti b'chatzrei malachim uvetirotam. My entire life I grew up in the courtyards of the kings and in their palaces. V'oy lo l'mishe kiram ani karev lahem. Woe to someone who knew them and got close to them. V'ashrav mishe yitrachek mehem. And fortunate is someone who keeps his distance away from them, u'mikvodam, and from their honor. Lo yikarev kim l'melech machem malachim ha'kadosh baruch hu. You want to be close to a king? Get close to God. King of Kings. Rav Barbanel says, I have firsthand experience. You don't want to deal with these people and their honor.
And he was dealing with such honorable people as me too.
Right, exactly. That's the point. You think they're honorable until you find out the hard way that they're not. Rashi says, don't make yourself known to the government. They only bring people close for their own needs. Rashi is quoting the next other Mishnah. Let's see the other Mishnah in Perek Beis. There are different opinions in the commentaries whether the two Mishnayos are saying the same thing or not. The one here says, don't make yourself close to the powers. And the one in Perek Bet says, be careful with the government. They only bring people close for their own needs. They act like they like you when it's good for them. But they don't stand up for you in your time of need. So Rashi, in his commentary on the Mishnah and Perek Aleph, quotes a line from the Mishnah and Perek Vav. He seems to be understanding that they're saying the same thing. Other commentaries we'll see understand they're saying two different things. The Meiri is the source of the translation, don't make yourself known to the government. He shows that grammatically, that's what the word titvada means. In other words, if they don't come looking for you, don't go looking for them. Don't you know, call up the palace, the White House, and say, hey, I have my services to offer. Stay away from them, keep a low profile, don't make yourself known. So that already suggests one difference between this Mishnah and the other Mishnah. Mishnah in Perek Aleph is saying, stay away. Mishnah in Perek Bet says, be careful of the government. If they already know about you, if they come to you and offer you a job, or if you have the opportunity to serve the Jewish people by working in the court, in the court of the king, nevertheless, be careful. For those who understand the two Mishnayos differently, that's how they understand them. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Ki avodat ha-rashut hi kasha ma'od." Working for the government is very hard. V'al kol panim kivan shemekabel alav ol melech basar adam. And if you accept the yoke of a human king, sofol lifrok ol machut shamayim v'atal mitzvot. In the end, you will throw off the yoke of the heavenly king and neglect the mitzvos. So that's why you should not make offer your services to the king. we'll come back. Rabbi Yonah has a fascinating comment on the Mishnah in Perek Beis, which we'll come back to shortly. Rabbeinu B'chaye says, similarly, don't go looking for greatness in the court of the king. Ke'elu shem rachavei lev v'gasei ruach, like those haughty people who go to the house of the king, motzim lahem shem v'aretz, and make themselves famous. He says that Shlomo Melech said about this in Mishlei, ke'teshev l'chom moshel bin tavin et asher l'fanecha, when you're going to fight on behalf of the ruler, you should know what you're getting yourself into. Kolmar, meaning if you want to go, keshev lilchom, literally the word lilchom means to fight, but he says it alludes to lechem. You want to get your bread from the king? Look at those who went before you and see what happened to them and stay away from them. The Rashbates, Shimshon ben Semach, explains why the government is called the Rashut. He says either it comes from the word Rosh, from the head, or it's like the word Rishut, permission, because the government has permission to do whatever it wants, which suggests an answer to our question, seeming contradiction between this Mishnah that says stay away from the government and the Marsha, who says it's an honor to work for the government. There's a commentary, 1700s, on Pirkei Avos called Yain Levanon. He says that there are two different kinds of governments. There are governments that you might call constitutional monarchies, where kings follow rules, and there are governments where kings act entirely on a whim, they're unpredictable, and therefore they're dangerous. When the Mishnah says stay away from working for the government, it's talking about the second kind of government. As the Rashbates says, the word Rashut, the government is called the Rashut because it has permission to do whatever it wants. It does whatever it wants. Stay away from that. That's dangerous. But if you have a king who is predictable and rational and follows some kind of system, then it might not be dangerous to work for him. And so perhaps, I don't think we have any evidence that Nebuchadnezzar followed a constitution, but maybe Nebuchadnezzar was in that category, and therefore it would have been an honor to work for him and not dangerous. So that's a possible answer to the contradiction. I did not actually see anyone who asked the question on the Marsha. Again, the Marsha says that the word Sarisim, when Chizkiyahu was told that his descendants would be Sarisim, the Gemara does not interpret it literally as officers, because that wouldn't be a punishment. That would be an honor. The question is, it says in Pirkei Avos, stay away from the government. So I didn't see anyone who directly asked that question, but perhaps this answers the question. Since we're on the Yain Levanon, he learns the two Mishnayos, Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, as referring to different things, based on a historical difference between the people who said them. Shmaya, in Perek Aleph, Pirkei Avos, lived in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were Jewish kings. They were already vassals of the Roman Emperor, but there were Jewish kings. But they weren't religious Jewish kings. They were Tzedukim. But the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael. Shmaya says, stay away from them. We're basically okay. Yeah, we're under Roman rule, but we're in Eretz Yisrael. Things are relatively quiet. Stay away from the government. Just mind your own business. This is Perek Beis is Rav Gamliel. It's after the Korban. The Jews have been exiled throughout the Roman Empire. We find many times in Mishnayos, Rabbi Gamliel is a lobbyist. He's the Nasi of the Jewish people. He's the president, essentially, and he's a lobbyist. And we find stories about Rabbi Gamliel and the other Chachamim on a boat. They're going to Rome. They're coming back from Rome. It was already a different situation in the world. So he doesn't say, don't make yourself known to the king. It was necessary to go to Rome and lobby for the Jewish people. But he says, Havu Zihirin Bereshut, be careful with the government. So the two Mishnayos are saying different things because they're talking about different periods in history. So the Mishnah in Perek Beis, as mentioned, says, Havu Zihirin Bereshut. The Rashbates says that This is coming to add to the Mishnah in Perek Aleph. Similarly to, without the historical explanation that the Yain Levanon gives, the Rosh Beit says that Shmaya is saying, stay away from them, and Rav Gamliel saying, if you have to deal with them, be careful with them. Okay, so that's consistent. Rabbeinu Yonah says something very fascinating and gets attacked for it. Rabbeinu Yonah lived in Spain, died in 1263. He says, stay, distance yourself from the king, because in the end, they will strip you of your wealth, of your. They only bring a person close for their own needs. All the kings want to do is uproot people from their status. You can never get to the bottom of what a king is thinking. Who could possibly fathom a king's thoughts? They act like they love you when it's convenient for them. They speak softly. They show you a friendly face. When they see some advantage to it. They don't stand up for a person in his time of need. When a king is lacking money, so b'shat tochko means in the time of the king's need, he doesn't stand up for anyone. He puts his needs first, and he'll trample everybody in order to accomplish his needs. And then Rabbeinu Yonah says, kachu pshat zo mishnah. That's the pshat. That's a simple understanding of the Mishnah. Vima davar kein. But if that's true, that that's what the Mishnah means, hima davar kenegin melachim, that is anti-king. The chalila, chalila, God forbid, lo yia devar v'lo yakum. That cannot possibly be what the Mishnah means. V'nei yadam yikeim kol olam. Not for kings. The whole world wouldn't function. We do say that in another Mishnah. You daven for the government. Right? That's why we daven for the well-being of the government, because we recognize that the government keeps us safe, more or less, and keeps the world running in a relatively functional way. Right? So he says the Mishnah could not possibly be anti-king. Vehemosim dinu mishpat. They are the ones who judge and keep law and order. Vein v'arch yuchaliot amito kimotam. There is no one more honest than the king. Shinam tzurchim lachnif abriyot. They don't have to flatter anyone because they're the king. Vein pachad sholeit b'hem, and they're not afraid of anyone because they're the king. There's nothing that prevents the king from doing the right thing. Therefore, the Mishnah should be interpreted as follows. The Mishnah is really saying, don't put your trust in the king, because the king actually has no power whatsoever. When a king needs someone and draws him close to Marilo Ava and shows him favor, it's all from Hashem. It's not from the king. If the king likes me because I have something to offer the king, it's because Hashem made it that way. And if I would offend the king, and the king wants to fire me, who could prevent it? The king, Hashem does that too. Everything is in the hands of Hashem, whether the king likes you or doesn't like you. It's all in the hands of Hashem. But kings are good people. He brings a pasuk in Mishlei, Pal ge mayim lev melech b'yad Hashem, like a flow of water, the heart of a king is in the hands of Hashem. Just as if you're holding your garden hose, you can point it any way you want. So too, Hashem turns the king's heart any way he wants. And therefore, don't put your trust in the king. Put your trust in Hashem. Behave properly. And then Hashem will make the king like you, the human king, like you versus not like you. But don't say bad things about kings, because kings are great. We love them. They take care of us. They keep law and order. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. He lived in Spain. He died in 1263. The Rashbates, who lived in the 1400s, cites Rabbeinu Yonah and says, Rabbeinu Yonah, zichrono livracha, pachad amalchut, pachad me'amalchut. He was afraid. This is what Rashbates says about Rabbeinu Yonah. He was afraid. Lo yalilu oto shu noten dofi bahem. He didn't want someone to take his commentary and show it to the king, and then he would be in trouble. So that's why he said nice things. And he turned the Mishnah, which is speaking about the evils of kings, into a praise of kings. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't mean it. That's what Rashbates says. It reminded me of a drasha of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger lived in Galicia. Today, the city where he lived, Brody, is now today in western Ukraine. At various times, it was in Poland, in Austria, Russia. So this is a drasha that he gave in 1828. He lived from 1784 to 1869. 1785 to 1869. This is a drasha he gave in 1828 in Brody in response to a decree from the king that Jews learn secular subjects and the language of the land. He says that we find at the end of Megillas Esther regarding Mordechai, says that he was Ratsui Larovichav. Ki Mordechai Ayudi, Mordechai the Jew, Mishne l'Melech Achashverosh, he was the second to the king, Achashverosh, V'gadol Ayudim, he was great among the Jews, Ratsui Larovichav, he was liked by most Jews, Duresh Tov Lamo, he sought the good of his nation. Gemara says, why was he liked by most Jews? Because once he went into the service of the king, some of the Sanhedrin broke off contact with him. Rav Shlomo Kluger says, "Damitzat lo yu mivinim shor shodavar." Those few who broke off contact with him did not understand what he was doing. And they didn't like the fact that he was serving as second to the king. And because of that, he had to learn secular subjects. And he had to be familiar with the ways of the world and the ways of the empire. And they didn't understand that. They thought that was a bad thing, so they broke off contact with him. But that was only the minority. The Pasuk says, Ratzui l'rov echav. Most people, most of the Sanhedrin, still liked him because they understood what he was doing. And he goes on and he says, so learning secular subjects and learning the language of the land is good for the Jews because it enables you to serve the king and lobby for the Jewish people. And not only that, it brings honor to the king. We're obligated to honor the emperor in whose kingdom we live. It would have been the Austro-Hungarian emperor at that time. It brings honor to the king that we follow his decrees. Then goes on and says, of course, it has to be done in a way that doesn't lessen your Torah knowledge and doesn't affect your religious observance, and you have to make sure that you don't all go off the derech, so to speak, go off in a bad way. And how are you going to do that? How can you learn secular subjects and learn the language of the land and serve in the court of the king and make sure you stay a good from Jew and continue to learn Torah? By realizing that if you would do the wrong thing, you would bring dishonor to the emperor. The emperor wants respectable people to serve him. If you sin, then you are detracting from the honor of the king. Because people will say, the emperor of Austria ruined our religion. He caused people to abandon our religion. Is that a nice thing to say about the emperor of Austria? Obviously, it's not. So you have to make sure that you stay from and learn Torah in order not to bring dishonor to the emperor of Austria. Because surely it's not his intention in making this decree to harm our religion. That's where Shlomo Kluger said in this drasha in 1828. Did he mean it? I don't know. It's hard to believe that he meant it. So here's Hashem, by Tchias Amesim, maybe I'll get in through the crowds and ask him, did he really mean it? I wonder if he really meant it or not. The Barbanel says on the Mishnah, Hevuzirin Barashut, be careful with the government. What does it mean to be careful? So he says, it's very dangerous work. Again, he says, I know personally. I firsthand experience. It's very dangerous work. And the way to survive is to make sure you stick to Torah and mitzvahs. So that's what it means, Hevuzirin, be careful. Be careful to stick to Torah and mitzvahs. He asks a question. The Mishnah says, be careful. It doesn't tell us, is it pro-working for the government or anti-working for the government? What does it mean? It means it just says, be careful. The Mishnah is saying that sometimes you need to work for them. Somebody needs to work for them. The Mishnah is saying, just be careful. Be careful to keep Torah mitzvahs. Be careful how you speak. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you look at them. Just be careful, because it's necessary to get close to them sometimes. So we don't have a definite answer to the question on the Marsha, which is why does the Marsha say it's a good thing? But two possibilities. One, maybe the different kinds of kings, and the Mishnah is just saying stay away from those who act totally arbitrarily, and maybe Nebuchadnezzar was not such a king. We don't know. But the second possibility, if we take Rabbeinu Yonah and Shlomo Kluger at face value, that they mean the positive things that they're saying about the king, then there is another way to explain this Mishnah, that when it says be careful with the king, it just means don't put your trust in the king. Know that it all comes from Hashem. If you know that it all comes from Hashem, you'll be okay. The Mishnah is not speaking ill of the king at all, but as we saw, the Rashbates doesn't believe Rabbeinu Yonah meant that. And as your own reactions to Rav Shlomo Kluger's drasha show, we're not sure that he meant it either. The other possible answer is that since the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim recognize that when the Jews are in exile, there need to be Jews representing the Jewish people in front of the king, and Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah were in the time of exile, therefore it's a good thing for the prophet to foretell that they will be officers of the king. Have a good day.